Evening. Today is the 15th day of March 2014, and I'm very pleased to have an old friend with us, Chaman Lal. Welcome, Chaman Lal.
Thank you.
When did you first hear of Sri Aurobindo and Mother?
In 1949. I was a student in school, and my teacher had his photograph.
Where were you going to school?
Delhi.
In Delhi?
So that wallet fell out of his pocket, and I picked it up and I saw Sri Aurobindo's picture. And I asked him, who is this? And he told me he is a great yogi who lives in south of India and is a master of 16 languages. He was an English teacher.
I see. And then, when did you first come to the ashram?
In 1954. I was reading Sri Aurobindo when he passed away. So I had great desire to come then, but I was a scholarship student and December is exams time. Scholarship students cannot miss exams. But I still wonder whether I should not have come.
When did you first meet Mother?
1954.
Did you have an interview with her?
No. But at that time, she used to come to playground every day. And when walked in front of him, and she would give prasad. And she used to give groundnut packets. I had not been well. I had taken medical leave to come here and I was feeling guilty, so I fell sick in Madras. So I said, half the lie is over. And when I went to her, Dr. Indrasen and Surendranath Johar were two people from Delhi. They told Mother, Chamanlal has not been well. So she looked at me and instead of giving me one packet of groundnut, she gave me two. And I said, I can't even drink water, how will I eat this? I did not know Mother really at all. So then I thought, I'll take it as prasadam. That was my first kind of opening. Then 2 days later when I went to meet, I had only 9 days holidays and it took 3 days to come and 3 days to go. So I was here only for 3 days. And she used to receive people outside Nirodh Baran's gate, near the garage. And when I went to her, somebody had given me flowers. I did not know that Mother has to be given flowers. So I forgot and she pushed out the flowers out of my hand, such, like this. And then she bent low and very sweetly asked me, are you all right now? And that blew me off. I said, 1,000 people were there in line and I don't know her and I was not particularly reverential to her and she cares to remember, she cannot be just human, it's not possible. Yes. So I said, yes, Mother. And then I took two books, Mother's Prayers and Meditations and Words of the Mother, which I read while going back.
And then when did you come and settle here?
After that came 57 here again.
Uh-huh.
And I could not come here, my circumstances did not permit. I had full responsibility of my father's family. But I had decided that I'll come here. So 57 to 61 I was in Delhi branch of the ashram.
Oh.
I was one of the first teachers.
I see.
And I thought from there I'll come here. But in my life nothing happens in one attempt, it takes usually two. So I had to go back to my institute because my mother had run out of money and people had cheated her. So 6 years I was there. And then I wrote to Mother here that I think if human beings can speak anything, I think I have done with the world.
You
have done with the world.
I see.
And she took 1 month to reply and said, come and meet me on 16th December. And I came here and I went up to her and I said, I want to come and be here now.
You went to her room?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I said, I want to come and be here now. And she said, you can come. And I didn't smile or feel happy. I was a bit subdued. And then she again went to her and said, we'll be happy to have you. And that's the time when I smiled through tears.
What work did Mother give you at first?
When I used to come here, I used to work with Khirodda, who was the head of the building service. He was a professor of English and principal of a college, but he learnt all his engineering here. So I used to work with him, and she said, you assist Khirodda. Oh.
What did you do?
I assisted him.
I know, but what kind of work?
Well, I didn't know engineering now. So whatever he told me, I did. He made me sit in precast concrete works in Cocoa Gardens, which used to make this concrete units, precast units for the ashram, and I learned, and I used to be there.
And
also I asked Mother whether I should stay in Auroville. And he said, Auroville was not yet started, no?
Right.
She said, not necessary for you. Mm-hmm. But you work in both places. You work there also.
Now tell us about your training. You're a scientist.
Well, I am originally a physics man by training, physics honors, and then I worked in Central Building Research Institute, which was an engineering research institute, one of India's national labs. And so I was some kind of a building physicist. And then when I got promotions enough, my section was split and I became the first head of the solar energy section, which was just started, 65.
Well, you know, I'm very interested in hearing you talk a bit about solar energy, because Mother once said that all the energy you need, you can get from the sun. And I remember that very clearly.
But I have
clearly.
Not read it anywhere. Uh-huh. I've only heard about it. Mm-hmm. When I see what happened is, solar energy was an engineering subject, and I was a scientist. Yeah. But I got to examine an engineering thesis in Roorkee University, which is the Mecca of engineering. It never happens, a scientist examining engineering thesis. Because scientists start on 150 rupees per month, and engineers started on 350 rupees per month. So when I examined this thesis, I was very happy. Because it's the first time. So I got 600 rupees, and I thought this is Mother's victory and Mother's money. So I told Mother, can I do something solar with this? She said, yes. So I put up the first solar water heater in the ashram in 1966, which has worked more than 40 years in the main building of the ashram. And I made its picture and wrote the names of all the people who had helped me and sent it to the Mother. Mother first looked at the list and she said, so many people working together. And then she turned the photo around and wrote at the back, blessings for effectivity. That became the charter of solar energy program in the ashram, in Auroville and in India.
And in India?
Solar energy started moving after she wrote these words. India launched its first solar energy program in 1967.
And what did you do in Auroville with solar energy?
See, Auroville was just started, And people, I'm sorry to say, did not believe much in research there at that time. So I thought I will first set up a meteorological station. Because whether you do buildings, agriculture, water planning, energy and you need data. And you need 5 years data. So I set up the meteorological station. There was no electricity near there. So
I remember where it was. Where
I
it
got
is.
All the instruments. Yeah. No, it's no longer there.
No
it's
longer
removed.
There. That's moved.
So it is, no, it has been removed.
Removed?
Yes. So they have put up some electronic station in Mathya Mandir campus, but I hope it works. It was all clock-driven instruments, no?
Hmm.
Some were specially designed for us. And that gave us the first meteorological data. I analyzed them and made books ready so that when our architects are ready and when Orville gets, there is the data. Rainfall data, including all the high intensity analysis for storm water drainage and all that. So we did that. That was the first research.
And India began after Mother wrote that?
Yeah, I mean, say some casual people were doing here and there, but it was not systematic work.
Ah, yes.
But it began as a systematic program. Mm-hmm. It became one of the national programs.
What other work did you do in Oroville?
Well, I set up the meteorological station, put up the first solar water heater on Orosan's home.
On Orosan's home?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Orosan used to take, when he wanted hot water bath, he would say, I want Jawaharlal bath.
We often talk in these in these interviews about the elder sadhaks and those who have known them. Could you tell us some stories, some reminiscences about either Nalini, Pavitra, Amrita, any of them? I mean, there are so many of them. And we'd be very grateful to hear about them.
I was not particular about being influenced by any of the senior sadhaks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought it's a little filter between the mother and you. So I kept all my contacts directly with the mother. Except that my letters were taken to the mother by Nalinida for ashram work and later by Shamsundar for Auroville work. And personal by Masyu Andre.
Oh.
Because I felt I could trust him.
Ah.
He would not put anything of himself.
Yes.
Nalinida, it was a little difficult to keep personal things. He was a little forbidding. Inside he was a very soft person. But
yeah.
I came to know him really as a person much later. But I didn't write too much to mother because I thought it was taking too much of her time and she was very overworked.
Yes.
I had most contact with Jivan Bhai because he was the right hand of the mother in building up the ashram. And I think whatever little management principles I have learned from him.
I see.
Because for example, you know, I heard that Manindra mixes water in milk. In Gloria Dairy.
Mm.
And it was true. And I said, what is this? He mixes water in the milk? He told me, yes. And you approve of it? He said, no. Then, why does he do? He said, cows are not machines. They don't give the same amount of milk. But if you give 5 cc less milk in the dining room, there will be a furor by all the yogis. So either I have to spend mother's money to buy the milk from the market or let Manindra mix some water. So I don't say anything. That was my first management lesson. That you do what is necessary for the work and not stand on this. In personal life, yes, you stick to details. But when you are responsible for other people's work, you learn to ignore many things. Which I would not have done myself. But then you are not a manager. You are a worker, but not a manager. He did all that without approving. He did not say to me once, I approve. He said, no, I don't approve. He was very, very correct. Nalinda only spiritual matters. But Nalinda also was a very warm person.
I knew him as a warm person.
See, somebody gave me in Hyderabad a basket of grapes from his garden. So I brought them here. Then I said, what is the use of eating my grapes? It is useless. I asked Animadi, does Nalinda eat grapes? Mm-hmm. She said, yes. So I sent all the basket to him without taking anything. And Nalinda saw it. And he told Anima, who has brought this? So she took my name. So he was not sure whether I will take it. So he said, call Shipra. Shipra is my wife's name. So Shipra went there and he took out a bunch of grapes and gave it to her and said, this is for you and for Chamalal. These people were very meticulous. But they were also workers and managers and creators of the ashram. So they would take, in matters concerning others, a practical standpoint. In matters concerning themselves as persons, very strictly correct protocol.
Can you tell a bit about Monsieur André?
I didn't know him much. Only I send communications to him. He will take them like a faithful son and a faithful elder brother and bring back mother's message and give it back. When I went to Europe first time, I went to everywhere after coming here. I had never gone before outside because I thought if I get stuck in some motor car, then my life will be wasted. So he will carry my things to bring back and give me mother's thing, beautiful smile.
Where did you go when you went out? To conferences?
No, I went to Australia, stayed there for 2 years. I had a postdoctoral fellowship.
You had what?
A postdoctoral fellowship.
Ah.
I asked mother whether I can go. And she asked a counter question. Ask him, I think mother was not receiving directly, this was in 67. I had last birthday message from the mother in 67 when I was allowed to go. She passed away, no, in 73.
73 mother passed away.
I went to mother in March 73. That was the last time, only two people went. Oh. After that, from April, nobody went. So, she asked him whether he has no wish, absolutely no wish in any part of his being to go abroad. I said, I have no particular wish in any conscious part of my being to go abroad. More than that, I cannot say. Absolutely no wish in any part of the being. Eh? You don't know any part, and absolute means is a big word. Then she said, he may accept. But she didn't say he accepts. He may accept.
He may accept.
So she put this may. That means the decision was still left to me.
Yeah.
I thought, it's a bit of a rider, no? So I had started teaching already in the school, April. I came in December and I was working, and my head of the department was one of the most enlightened sadhaks here. Shivendra spoke about him that he is a born worker. And I'll say he was a born leader of men. So he said, you are so well qualified, why don't you teach in the school? You take one period. One special people.
You didn't mention his name.
Kirot Bose.
Ah.
He lived behind the ashram. She said, you take one subject. They have started an engineering technology course. They just started. So I started taking course in advanced mathematical methods for the engineering technology course. Advanced mathematical methods.
Wow.
For engineering course. Nobody knew advanced mathematics. They all knew old mathematics. I mean, Vishnada was quite old. Vishnada was 1909 born, so he was 58. He learnt all engineering by himself. So he was a qualified engineer, but very old engineer. 1930 he finished his study. So I used to take mathematical methods. Then I went to Australia. Mother said he may accept. So when she said he may accept, I said she has not said he accepts. Huh? So I have started teaching and I have to be here, so I will finish the session and then go, not before. If something bad happens, they don't wait or something, it's all right, then I'm not meant to go. Otherwise they will wait. What is there going abroad now? Mm-hmm. So I went in October end, which is the end of the school. So they waited. So I was there for 2 years.
What was your experience like there, after being in the ashram?
I kept a little ashram around me all the time. Every month I would write to the mother, and I worked very hard. In India you produce one paper in 1 year or two papers. I produced 11 papers in 2 years, all in international journals. So when I was coming back, there was a chance to go to America. And for presenting, I had 4 papers out of 60 papers in the entire first world conference on application of computers to building environmental engineering. 4 out of 60, alone me. So I went there to present the papers, then I had to come back.
Where did you go? Where was it in America?
Washington.
Washington.
But I went from Australia, landed in San Francisco, mm-hmm. went to East-West Center. I had great respect for Jyotima.
Jyotipriya.
I stayed with her actually.
I see.
And she was very, very kind to me. And then from there I went to Seattle, and from Seattle to
Washington.
I had a Commonwealth permit, you know. So I went to Ottawa and then back to Washington.
And so you presented?
Yes.
And what was the response?
Too much clapping.
Then you came back here.
Yes, so after touring around, then I went to Europe, toured around the country, and all places, building these stations. And then I came back in January 1970. 67 mm-hmm. end I had gone, 68 and 69 I stayed there.
And then you went to America?
69, 70 I stayed there, 70 November I went to America, roamed around Europe for 3 months, 2.5 months or something, I don't know, visiting so many building associations, right from London to Edinburgh and all that.
Mm.
And then I reached here in January 17th, I think. And look at the mother. She had got my room cleaned, whitewashed, ready to receive me. I had not asked her. She asked the people there, Jawaharlal is coming back, his room should be ready.
And then did you take up teaching again?
Yes, teaching, work, everything.
Tell us.
It has been my good fortune that I have not even regretted once that I left there to come back. Hmm. I had so many offers of professorships in American University because my work was right at the frontiers. But that was an interlude. Because there is no comparison, no. I mean, there is no, they are on two different planes altogether.
Yes, yes.
So what is the comparison on two different planes?
Yeah.
So that question never arose.
Did you go out again? Or have you stayed?
Yes, I've gone many times out. Pardon? But for short times.
Short time.
Mm-hmm. Not more than 15 days. So Europe, and not more than 3 or 4 days to Delhi. No, because I was member of so many committees in the government of India, no? Because I was one of the earliest workers in my field. The first PhD in solar energy was my student. So I went to Delhi many times in meetings. But I'll stay in Delhi branch of the ashram.
Hmm.
My mother used to live in Delhi, but I never stayed with her.
Oh.
I'd go to meet her, but I'll stay in Delhi branch because ashram work, no?
So you knew Tara's father well?
Yeah, very well. Because I'd worked with him, no, 57 to 61.
Yes, yes.
I was one of the first teachers in Delhi ashram school. So then I went to meeting. First day reaching, second day meeting, third day back. No dining out, cinema business, nothing. Why, no? Not necessary.
You set up a weather station in Lake?
No, in Auroville.
No.
Near Frederick's house.
Is there one in Lake also now? We met there one day with Prakash.
There was a proposal, I don't know whether it is set up.
Mm-hmm.
There is something in Prakash's place,
yeah,
in Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
There is
in Melbourne, yes, yes.
They have set up, not me.
Oh, they set it up.
Uh-huh. They set it up. Mm-hmm. I told them that if you want to do scientific work, you need this reference data.
What is the present state of solar energy in the world?
In the world, it is still limping. In India, it is in the mainstream.
In the mainstream?
Yes, it's part of the national plan. It's well accepted. They want 20% of energy to come by solar by 2020. But I think that's too ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe 10-11%.
Are the panels more efficient now, much more efficient?
The panels is only one part of the energy, mm-hmm. That's electrical.
Right.
But solar has all these biosystems, all the biology is solar, and all the heat systems.
Yes.
Directly.
Mm-hmm.
Panels used to be 10% efficient, now they are 14% efficient, commercial panels.
Mm-hmm.
Laboratory panels, research panels are 20-21%.
Ooh.
And upper limit is, I think, 27% for plain panels. But you see, these solar panels absorb a particular part of the spectrum of solar radiation. Now they are trying to make panels in layers which absorb different parts of the spectrum.
Oh.
So if that is still, I think, in research stage, it's not commercial. If they succeed in that, then the efficiencies will go higher than the coal-based power. Because that's 30%. 32%,
yes.
And plus minus transmission losses. But this would become more than 30%. But the worrying trend is that people, particularly members of parliament, think in large terms. They want megawatt solar power station. That is absolute plain nonsense. You should have maybe 100 into 10 kilowatt stations. Because solar energy is distributed, so why do you want concentrated power and then again go online? But that makes news, no? So they should have large number of distributed stations. They can have 1 kilowatt for houses, 10 kilowatt for small communities and farms, and maybe 100 kilowatt for rural industries. That would be the scales. This can be fine-tuned. So that should be the approach. This business of megawatt size in Rajasthan and then again shipping out power is not correct, in my view. Other day I received the news from Delhi, somebody has rung up to say that the first solar thermal, not solar photovoltaic, not these panels,
mm-hmm.
but solar thermal where you use solar energy to make steam and run a turbine. The first megawatt solar thermal power station is connected to the grid.
Wow.
Yesterday evening, this news came. And the fine tuning with the grid matching is going on. He rang up because I had gone there. He knew that I would be happy about it.
And what? You must still keep up with everything that's happening in the field as much as possible. Or does teaching take up most of your time?
I try to keep up, but not with everything, and not in the world. In India, 3 years ago, when I completed 75, 5 years ago, I stopped attending the committees. And I nominated somebody else from Auroville to take my place, a younger man, Hemant.
Hemant?
So he goes now. And he's better than me at the present stage because now it's more in application phase. So he goes. I have stopped going. So I don't go anymore.
Do you have a lot of contact with Aurovillians?
Not with lots of Aurovillians, but some Aurovillians, they are like my brothers. I can talk anything. We are friends for 20 years, 30 years. And most of the Aurovillians, I think, know me. I am kind of non-resident Aurovillian. I had asked mother whether I should stay in Auroville. She said not necessary for you. But you work in both places.
We often ask people their feeling about present day situations in Auroville, in the ashram. They speak to us about Mother guiding them at every moment. What is your inner feeling of Mother guiding you? Or
it's very difficult to say in tangible terms. A fish cannot talk about water. So what water is to the fish, Mother is to us. She's all pervading. I mean, see, your entire ground in life is her. And then what do you talk about? I hope I'm not exaggerating, but I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Sometimes unconsciously, most of the time consciously, but she is there.
When did you meet Shipra, and did you write to Mother when you got married?
Well, I met her in Delhi branch of the ashram. She was one of the first teachers. Mm-hmm. But she left there and went to join the Indian School of International Studies library. And she was there. When I was in Roorkee, she was there. Before, yes, I wrote to the Mother, of course.
Yes.
But I didn't write to her whether I should get married or not, because that would have been a lie. I said, I want to get married. And I want to get married to so-and-so. I had sent her photographs. So, through Dr. Indusen, she sent us a copy of Savitri bound in silk, embossed in gold.
Whoa.
As a gift.
Bound in silk and embossed in gold.
Yeah, the title and all that.
What a gift.
And that we have read together every morning.
All these years, every morning.
We are married and not married. Married because if you want to live together, India was not modern enough for a boy and a girl to live together without getting married. But everything else of marriage we have not done. We have been very independent, we are still best of friends. We have not created any family structure. Even here we live separately. And we eat once in a week together if possible, but not always. And Shipra is a most excellent cook.
Oh, I remember.
She didn't know cooking when we got married, you know. Her mother asked me, what would you eat? I have not taught my daughter cooking. and I told her sandwiches. And my grandfather, who was 89 years old when I was going to get married, you see, he was the head of our family. And my father was not there, so nobody did anything without asking. So I went to him and I said, I want to get married. And he told jokingly, that's the news. Because I thought, you are going to the ashram, I'm not getting married. I said, but I'm going to the ashram also. So he said, can I meet the girl? I said, yes. He's the head of the family. Then he said, not necessary, it must be all right. Then second question he asked, have you informed the mother? He knew that. And he was an Arya Samaj man. He was a kind of leader in his own right, man of great principles. So I said, yes. So he didn't say anything after that. And can you believe it, at the age of 89, he came to our marriage? 89. I don't think I can do what he did.
So when he asked you, did you write to the mother, he was disciple of Mother Sri Aurobindo, or just interested?
No, he was an Arya Samaj man, lived in Gurukul Kangri, which is the Makkah of Arya Samaj. And he was a spiritual man in his own way, dedicated man. And he knew that I go to the ashram and I knew the mother, so he asked me, did you ask the mother? That's all, nothing more.
Yeah. What would you recommend to so many of these young people who are seeking today? I get so many letters from them. There is such a search going on in young people.
What is there for me to tell? Yes. Nalita said, no, love the mother more and more.
Love the mother more and more. I think that's a very beautiful way to end our talk today. Thank you, Chaman.
Nalita said, without qualification, love the mother more and more.
Yeah.
And I think